before we get into the news of the day, I wanted to take a second just at the beginning to thank everybody who helped us last week with our Giving Day event. Especially want to thank the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico who organized that. 115 different nonprofit groups benefited from Giving Day, and we didn't meet our goal of 2,500. That was a pretty ambitious goal, but we certainly raised enough to get the $500 in matching funds. And just once again, thank everybody who supported us, not only on Giving Day, but as we say all the time, we are on the air thanks to your support, your generosity. We do not get public funding. We do not sell at. We do get underwriters. We love our underwriters, but it's not the same thing as going out and selling commercial ads. And so we really do.
I think it really, we are truly a community radio station, and it's run by volunteers.
That's right. That's right. We have to stress that every time. So I know lots to talk about, but I know you wanted to start with something.
Yeah. Near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because once again, these layers and layers of important news coming out. The King and Queen's visit, the King's address to Congress yesterday with some jokes, evidently. We've got gas prices hitting their highest point since the Iran war started, the longest government shutdown in history, infighting among Republicans that keeps Congress from resolving it. We've got the presidential poll numbers tanking, and of course, these important New Mexico races that we've been talking about, and now Deb Haaland's race for governor is not as sure because she has a contender with Sam Bregman.
A very aggressive contender. Yeah.
And the Supreme Court this morning is hearing oral arguments on Trump's revoking of the temporary protection status for Haitian and Syrian immigrants who, 10 years ago came and were under humanitarian aid. So that will have huge implications for hundreds of thousands of Haitians and Syrians and others who in other programs that are similar that have been protected in the past. So those are big stories. But I'm worried that, and of course, the Trump, the Epstein files, I always call it the Trump files.
Well, I say all of that.
Yeah.
So, and our nation is at war.
And our nation is at war. And Russia is still fighting in Ukraine. It's mind-boggling. It's difficult to keep up with all this. But we do risk losing the another important story that's close to my concern, and that's the weaponization of law. We've had yesterday this second criminal indictment against James Comey. While I'm no personal fan of Comey's, but this action against perceived political enemies horrifies me. I mean, it's just really profoundly dangerous.
To be clear, the first time Comey got indicted, it was for allegedly lying to Congress, which everybody lies to Congress. Every time people testify before Congress, they lie. I mean,
and as he said, the question was ambiguous. So,
and the point I'm trying to make is that was the more solid of the two cases.
Yes.
This time, he is being criminally charged.
Yes.
They want to put him in jail.
Yes.
For posting seashells.
That he had not arranged.
That he had not arranged. He had come upon them. There were seashells arranged in a way that said 8654.
47.
47, whatever. Thank you. And they are alleging that was a threat against the life. Put the president's life in danger.
Yes.
Now, how do you get that by a grand jury?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Well, now, remember, grand juries only hear the prosecutor's side.
I understand.
But still, it shocked me that an indictment came out.
Something's wrong with our grand jury system.
Well,
how do you not laugh at that? How does any reasonable thinking
and in fact,
person
when
not
he posted
laugh at
it,
that?
When Comey posted it last May, he wrote, cool seashells on the beach. You know, he has a little lighthearted.
Can I say something?
Please.
This really, anybody who has a deep-seated hatred for Donald Trump, the last thing you should want is for that man to leave office as a martyr.
Yeah.
The last thing you should want is for some idiot to get through, to make the shot, And instead of leaving office as an embarrassment that will haunt the Republican Party for decades to come, which will what happened, that's mm-hmm. will be what happened if time takes its course.
Yes.
Or he will die of natural causes. One of those two things will happen. But if he is shot, if he goes down with John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther yes. King, that is the worst possible outcome.
For critics of the president.
That's exactly right.
No, I agree with you.
Anybody who's cheering for that outcome,
yep.
give it another thought. I mean, beyond just the humanity of it.
Yes. But 86, you know, I've heard it referred to like striking something off a list. Let's 86 that idea.
Right. Or well, I always heard it was a bar. That guy's been 86. He can't come back
yet. Yeah, that's right. So that's how Comey understood the term. But the Justice Department is arguing that, no, it means kill
him.
It's
crazy. No, it's crazy.
And the fact that, yes,
and it's just one of many, many, many examples.
Yes. Oh, I agree. That's what's really horrifying for me. As you know, since mid-1980s, my primary research has been on the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney General's office. Right. And in 1992, I posit there's three norms that define the AG. And the first is political independence, independence from intrusive executive control. And that is the oldest norm. That goes back to like Aunt Colonial, 1752.
I know, but to be honest, you know, JFK had his brother.
Yeah, and his brother was one of the most aggressive critics of his brother, of John Kennedy.
That's fair. That's yeah. fair.
So he was very, you have had like
bad.
John Mitchell, who the only attorney general to spend time in jail, but he was, had been like a campaign manager for Richard Nixon, especially for his reelection. So there have been
and the whole
real
thing about
issues.
Loyal Bushies and Alberto
yes,
Gonzalez.
Yes, there
had
been real problems in the past, but nothing like
nothing
this.
Nothing like this.
Not this level.
No.
We've never seen such blatant disregard.
No, what was her name, had an impromptu conversation with Bill Clinton when their planes were both on the tarmac yeah. at the same time.
Yeah.
And the Republicans went nuts.
Yeah. And it was just a little polite, yeah. hello, how yeah. are you doing kind of.
I mean, boy, how far have we come since then? I mean, it's not even, the defense for all of this is, well, look what they did to Trump. They're not trying to make a claim that any of these are valid or justified. The defense for all of it
is look what they did to Trump.
That's right.
Even though, as we know, Merrick Garland was extremely cautious and moved very slowly as head of justice against investigating a lot of the claims against Trump. I mean, it was overwhelmingly nonpartisan, overwhelmingly.
I agree with that, but I also think some of the local charges, the porn star charge, I don't think that would have been filed if it weren't. Well, of yeah. course, you know, if it were a local officer, yeah. A local official running for local office, I don't
yeah.
think that.
Although it did good make good late night.
We do have a caller.
Oh, good.
Always happy when we have a caller. Please,
well,
go ahead.
I'm always happy to hear you folks. Quick question, because you are talking with an expert on the Justice Department. The other neat news or interesting news on the Justice Department is, as a lot of people know, Donald Trump is suing the tax, the IRS, the U.S., over damages he says he suffered because of his tax.
Yeah.
Stopper.
$10 billion. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's being defended by the Justice Department,
yes.
which is controlled by Justice. And that's now as a lawyer, I think the easy answer is the judge should just disqualify the Judge Department, the Judicial Department, or the DOJ, and appoint a special prosecutor or have Congress do so, not the president. But I'll hang up, and I want to hear what Nancy's thoughts are on that.
You know, I was going to bring that up also, Peter. Thanks for calling in, because this is really gets to this heart of the independence issue. A federal judge now has asked the Justice Department what their argument is going to be, because the Justice Department historically serves, I mean, it serves not simply the president, and in fact, it's not the president's personal attorney, despite what it looks like, but they defend the federal government. And here you have them forced to defend against a personal lawsuit. Trump says this is his personal lawsuit for $10 billion for the release of his name by a contract worker at the IRS. And so the judge has asked the Justice Department what their argument is going to be, because they're not truly independent. And that brings to the question, the whole constitutional issue, that you have to have a live case in controversy before the Supreme Court. I mean, it has to be before the federal judiciary. It has to be adverseness between the litigants. And instead, it's such a close relationship that I think the judge is going to dismiss it. But the downside is, if the judge dismisses it, the attorney general has a fund to pay settlements, and they don't have to go to Congress. And it looks like they could just—they're already in settlement talks. This is a grift. This is a shakedown by the president of the United States to get maybe not $10 billion, but I bet $1 billion.
So let me add one more to the pile. So far we've talked about abuse of the Justice Department to go after his enemies.
Yep.
We've talked about abuse of the Justice Department to grift, to enrich himself personally. Let me add a third one.
Okay.
We have had judge after judge after judge in immigration case who have said that the Justice Department lawyers have come in there and just flat out lied.
Yes.
Just flat out lied to him. Over immigration cases, one after another after another, in defense of an out-of-control agency.
Yes.
So there's a third one to add to this heap of shame on our current Justice Department.
And that's really appalling, because even when you had very terrible attorneys generals in the past, you always had this core ethic of the Justice Department lawyers that considered themselves like the best law firm in the country, the most elite law firm in the country. It really drew the best and brightest, not because of money, but because of reputation and skill and what you could learn from other attorneys representing the United States.
You may not make money at that time, but you come out of the Justice Department after 10 years and you got your pick of all
of law firms.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
But it was a completely different operation here. They've gotten rid of anybody. For instance, in that initial case that initial trial against Comey, the first indictment, as you were talking about, they pushed the U.S. attorney to bring the case, and the U.S. attorney at that time refused and said and he was a Trump loyalist, but there's no grounds for bringing a case. Well, they got rid of him and brought in a loyalist who is the one that ultimately led to the dismissal of the case.
Insurance attorney.
Yes. And so he was dismissed. And the government didn't follow the administration didn't follow the right process for appointing him. So the judge dismissed the case with prejudice, meaning they could come back again. But essentially that because the attorney had been appointed incorrectly.
Right.
But and now you've got this ridiculous case going forward. And they're going to arrest Comey or let him turn himself in. And while long term, this doesn't look like it's going to result in any actual punishment for Comey, but it's going to be expensive.
Right.
It's going to take time, and it's going to send this ripple chill through any critic of the administration.
It's going to try to.
Well, I think they've been pretty effective.
Do you?
I mean, I think people think twice before you go against this. And some people even Republicans in Congress say, they don't want to challenge the White House because they don't want their families to be threatened.
Yes, you're right there. And you're right when it comes to probably public officials, people who have something to lose.
Yes.
I mean, it certainly hasn't stopped the public from saying whatever
protesting,
they want to say.
Yeah.
Let's bring the press into this as well. So now Jimmy Kimmel makes a joke 3 days before the event happens. Maybe it was a tasteless joke. It's a joke about the death of an 80-year-old man and the fact that his wife will most likely outlive him. She's 40 years, 30 years younger, whatever.
Yeah, the joke was something like, Mrs. Trump glows like an expectant widow.
That was
the joke.
Yeah, so, okay. First time I heard it, I laughed. But if you think it's tasteless, that's probably justified, too. If you think that he should be kicked off the air because of it, then you don't understand. Then stop complaining about every time your side gets censored. Stop complaining about cancel culture. Stop complaining about, every time your side gets.
And especially it's hypocritical because Donald Trump has celebrated the deaths.
Of course he has.
Like Mueller and others.
Of Rob Reiner.
Like Rob Reiner.
A film director.
Yes.
And comedian.
Yes.
He celebrates his death.
Yeah. It's just speaking of tasteless. But again, they're claiming that this is a threat to the president's life. Notice how they're doing that. Any kind of criticism is a threat to the president's life.
Yeah, of course.
And therefore, you should build the ballroom.
Listen, and therefore you should build. Thank you. And everything always comes back around to the ballroom, doesn't it?
Well, and the FCC last night announced that Disney, the ABC parent organization, has to file for license renewal in 30 days.
Yeah.
They're expediting it. That ABC
was not up for another 2 years.
Yeah. They had a 2 year before they had to refile in 30 days, and that puts them really at the mercy of this administration, this FCC, which is also supposed to be independent.
And let's be clear, all of this is over that joke.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it is over that joke.
So there you go. If you are somebody who through 4 years of Joe Biden was complaining about government overreach and get the government out of our lives and... Is this what you're asking for?
Yeah. And this should be horrifying to all of us.
It should.
Because if this becomes a norm, that means it could be used by a dictator on the left who comes in and suddenly decides to punish enemies. These are knives that cut both ways. It's very, very important to ensure that we have a structure that works regardless of who is in power.
Well, the amount of power that Congress has just abdicated.
Capitulated, yeah.
Yeah. We do have another caller.
Oh,
that's
good.
Terrific. Two callers in one morning. Please jump on in here, caller.
Good morning. Yes, I think you guys need to be aware that the Supreme Court has just taken Louisiana and Talis, and that voter rights are now non-restricted in the whole United States. It was just broadcast. So any redistricting by any state will now be allowed.
Just to be clear, are you saying that they no longer will consider racial gerrymandering as not being, is that what they ruled on?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Nancy, what do you think about
that? Gosh, I'm trying to, thanks for calling in because this is breaking news from when I was looking at the paper just about half an hour ago. So,
and we knew it was pending.
Yes. Yeah.
So essentially, since the appellate court allows Texas to redo its maps, the Supreme Court went for a full 6-4-3against the Louisiana Callis case. Also, I wanted to know if you're in favor of Trump putting his picture on our
passport. Oh. Yeah. Well, I just returned from an international trip, and I was looking at my passport and glad to see it doesn't expire for at least another year. Because, yes, although I think you have to request it to get the president's picture and a signature in gold on the U.S. passports, his name on everything.
I'm not sure that's going to hold based on it's not been formally released, but Trump would like to see banners for our birthday celebration in every capital that have his picture on it, like at the DOJ.
Undoubtedly, he would. There's no question that's what he would like to see. How do I feel about it? It's clownish. It's gotten to the point to me where it's so absurd that it's cartoonish. It all gets reversed the day he leaves office. He knows that. It is so pathetic and so needy and just so blatant and out in the open that I just don't know how to do anything but laugh at it.
Well, only because you mentioned the three things in the first part of your conversation concerning trust in our president or not to take us in our pocketbook.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you very much for your time. I just thought it was important.
It was.
It just popped up.
Thanks for letting us know. I always love getting breaking news in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling in.
So that's our Supreme Court. That's another issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, yeah, maybe that's what I should talk about another morning. We'll get into some of the decisions that they've made. Justice has also stopped enforcing civil rights law, or what they're doing is they're shifting, of course, against racial cases of discrimination and other cases like that, and focusing on where Christians have been disadvantaged. So it's really about seeing that Christians are really the minority here that are being disserved. And yeah. So the shift of the Justice Department has really changed.
Well, and now we have, it seems pretty clear that we're going to have a political shift, certainly in the midterms, and I think most people would say probably in the presidential election. So now you have conservatives who are looking at the two older justices and saying, hey, we don't want an RBG thing here going down, because it used to be that you could get a reasonable person from the other party through.
Yep.
But that's Mitch McConnell killed that.
Yep. Well, overtly, because there was much more time whenever Merrick Garland was appointed before the election. There was much more time before. I mean, it was maybe a year before the election.
Yeah.
And then versus Amy Comey Barrett was a couple of months. So
it was blatant. The new rule is that you don't get anybody through unless you've got control of the Senate.
Yep, that's right.
That's
the Mitch rule. Yeah. And look where that's brought us. So we'll have to see how that plays out, too. I do, with these tanking toll numbers, and it's really a result evidently of the war and the cost of gasoline, we'll have to see. I know that Trump could declare victory at any moment. I know that there are some things operating, though, in Israel. I know that there are some opponents who are trying to consolidate from different parties, trying to organize against Benjamin Netanyahu, because I think people are very concerned in Israel with the progress of the war and Netanyahu's role in it. And I think that could help reach a peace agreement or a settlement. I don't know. Probably not peace, but
Well, I just think he's stuck. I mean, I think he has settled into this thing where he's not getting hammered every day on it, and he's okay with that.
Yep.
And so if it's costing $1 billion a day, that's not his money.
Yep.
And if we have sailors and, you know, people away from their families for month after month, that's not his family.
Yep. And if people are getting killed, well, they're not his family.
That's right. That's right. And I don't think he wants that. I don't think he wants a shooting war. He wants Iran to capitulate, and that's not going to happen.
No.
So he's not going to get what he wants.
He has completely misread the political leadership and even the sentiment of the people in Iran.
Right.
Because, of course, they were expecting this big rousing support from the people of Iran against the regime. But, you know, they're now hunkered down. And if anything, their sympathies might be going back to the regime because they're under attack.
Oh, I think no doubt. I mean, they hate the regime. Well, I shouldn't speak for them. I understand they do hate the regime, and rightfully so. And there's some that I shouldn't speak for them. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, we got into a mess thinking that it was going to be Venezuela.
Yes.
Look how easy this is. We just go, we pluck them out, we steal the oil, we get rich, they bend on their knees, they do whatever we tell them.
I get all this good publicity.
Right,
I get my cronies get reelected, and then I am appointed for a third term.
And you know, I mean, no...
We change the Constitution.
No disrespect to Venezuela, but comparing, you know, that nation and culture to the Persian Empire...
Yeah.
And it's just a complete misunderstanding of world history and what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it really is. So are you taught, you have anything else on your papers there that we should be like local, anything that would be interesting that we should be looking at?
Well, you know, I do think this, yes, I do. My column this week is, I don't think we should elect judges or election officials, secretaries of state.
And I agree.
And I also think the decision to remove Rebecca Dow from the ballot by a Democratic Secretary of State after, you know, once the Supreme Court unanimously rejects that, you have to look at it and say, was that partisan?
Yes.
If the tables had been reversed, if yes. it had been, you know, a Democratic candidate, and it was about screen, instead of sending the signatures in on the paper that they were signed on, she sent in screenshots. There's never any dispute that, yeah. you know, they were, not valid.
Yes.
The dispute was, well, you're not supposed to do it that way, and we can't check it as easily, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
So,
because you know, appearances matter. So even if there was, we have to be very careful when we're in positions where of independence, as yeah. it were, supposedly, like judges, like secretaries of state, to act above and beyond in terms of neutrality.
Right.
You cannot look like you have an axe to grind.
That's right.
So there's an extremely high bar before you start mucking around with people's
and judges,
political access.
There's a race here in the Democratic primary, and Peter asks, you know, should we do that? First of all, they can't say anything. What would you do about that? Oh, I can't talk about, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You can't really bring those candidates in.
Secondly, nobody, there are two women running to be district court judge in Division 4, replacing Rebecca Duffin.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think the voters have heard of any of those three people. And
yeah.
So how do you choose? I mean.
Yeah. And the real core point that you just made, which is if you ask a question, a meeting question, they won't be able to answer it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, and beyond that, I just don't know how voters make an informed choice. I mean,
yeah.
The way it works here is the governor appoints somebody, you know, once there's a vacancy, the governor appoints somebody, and then that person has to run in a contested election.
Yep.
So it's a Republican against a Democrat. Well, if in a judge race, I mean, that just seems goofy to me.
No, I agree.